Clay, this is a bug-centric episode of Star Trek Enterprise. Do you have any favorite bugs? Least favorite bugs? Any bugs you will not kill?
I don't think I have any favorite bugs. I don't like... I'm not a huge bug person in general. My least favorite bug is the spider. I hate spiders. Always have. They're the only bug that actively sneaks up on you, and I don't appreciate it.
What about house centipedes? Do you guys also have house centipedes?
Oh, I hate those too. I hate them because they jump out at you.
Yeah, they scurry.
Like they're jump scare bugs. And I also don't care for bees because I have a tendency to get stung by them for some reason.
Do you see bees anymore? I feel like the lack of bees is really like noticeable at this point. Like there used to be bees all over the place and I never see honeybees anymore. I just see those carpenter bees and bumblebees, the big bees.
Oh, the big old fat
ones. Yeah, the big fat ones that you can hit with a baseball bat and make a fantastic sound. But I don't see the little honeybees anymore. I rarely see honeybees.
They usually hang around trash barrels, I've noticed, around us anyway. And they love me for some reason. I've probably told my getting stung by a bee while apple picking story on here. And if not, I'm not going to waste our time telling it again. But I'll get to it someday after it's had a couple years to simmer down.
That's another Patreon exclusive, Clay's bee story. I guess we'll go to.
I got stung in the eye once.
Yep.
Oh my God, it was traumatizing.
Yeah.
I was at my house. I was going down. A bunch of my friends were in the backyard, and our backyard is kind of sloped down. So I was kind of running down that way and it just shot up out of the ground and stung me like right, missed my actual eyeball by like a centimeter.
Yep.
Got me right in here. And I actually had to reach in and pull the bee out.
Yep.
Not great. Not great.
Amy had the same thing. She was running one day and just ran into a bee and she must have just run into it ass first because it stung her like the minute that she flew into it. So I don't know. I guess maybe they're ready to go, I guess, bees. But I miss them. I miss those little honeybees. I like honey, and now it's going
to
make.
Why are they so? What are they fighting? Why are they so violent? What are they trying to protect? Is the honey that valuable to them that they need to jab you at the first sign of trouble?
It's like Joe Strummer said: if you're looking out to get the honey, you don't go killing all the bees, Clay. Let's see. Let's get into Hatchery, which has a lot of bugs in it, little baby bugs, and we'll talk about that. We'll do it right now. We'll play a clip first, then we'll come back and we'll break it down.
Captain?
What about Azadi Prime?
It's not going anywhere. This is a sentient species. We can't abandon them.
Captain, with all due respect, why the hell not? I've got half a mind to take a plasma torch to that place.
What if we found a nursery filled with 31 infant primates? Would you want to torch them?
The Zindi are trying to destroy Earth because they heard that humans are ruthless. This is a chance to prove them wrong.
We can bring the eggs aboard, reconfigure one of the cargo bays.
I already talked to Phlox. He says they're integrated into the hatchery walls. If we remove them, they'll die.
Sir, this is crazy. These people are trying to kill us.
This isn't open for discussion.
Hatchery is the 17th episode of the third season of Star Trek Enterprise. It came out on February 25th, 2004. It is 18 of 28 in the Zindi Crisis. Teleplay goes to Andre Bormanis. Story credit goes to Andre Bormanis and Michael Sussman. Directed by Michael Grossman. In-universe date is January 8th, 2154. In this episode...
Hatchery is my favorite song off the Master of Puppets album as well.
All I could think about is... do you know the Lonely Island songs at all?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Jizz in My Pants? It popped in my head. It's like Archer finds eggs in the hatchery. He does things alone now. Mostly is all I could think while I was watching this episode, and I don't know why it was. In this episode, the Enterprise finds a derelict Zindi insectoid starship carrying a cache of unhashed eggs, and Archer takes an increasingly obsessive interest in preserving them in vinegar. To become deviled eggs. Hatchery is the episode. You don't like deviled eggs?
No, I guess I do. Does that involve
pickled eggs?
Are you thinking of pickled eggs?
Yeah. Deviled eggs are great.
Pickled eggs are, I don't know about that.
To make it deviled, you just mix up the yolk, right? Is that what makes it? I think you pickle the egg and you mix up the yolk. Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get to it. Hatchery.
Have you ever seen those ones that are like they bury them? for like 100 years. Yeah. Like black eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are interesting.
I'm not I'll stick to my extreme deviled egg fabrications. I think Hatchery, the episode, it's got bugs. We found a bunch of bugs. Archer gets shot in the face by bug goo, and he has to protect the eggs. What'd you think about this episode?
I came away from this episode legitimately confused as to what the takeaway was supposed to be, because I don't know who learned the lesson, what the lesson was, who was right in the situation, if you were supposed to figure out who was right. None of this happens if they just keep their damn helmets on. You know,
yeah.
I don't know why they keep taking their helmets
really,
off.
Really, the minute they learn there's breathable air, they're just like, they just let everything in. It's
right. Yeah,
it's really shocking.
How come Prometheus got shit for doing that, but nobody gave this show shit 20 years ago?
Should be the first thing brought up in any Trek BB bulletin board or whatever. Is how can they take their helmets off?
From now on, anytime someone brings that up, I'm pulling this out of the bin and I'm putting it on trial.
This is a pointless Enterprise episode.
Yeah, you know, the thing that was confusing me was that for the first like half of it, I felt like what they were doing had some merit, because I was like, oh, okay, the idea here is that Archer is trying to legitimately save these, you know, save this collateral damage. They don't need to kill all these unborn children. They don't need to be the monsters that the Zindi think they are. I actually thought that the spray in the face was actually a misdirect. I thought eventually it was going to be like, no, that didn't do anything. He just didn't want to kill those kids.
Right.
But as it got further and further on, obviously he's going crazy, and then he puts the Makos in charge, which is kind of crazy, and then there's a mutiny, and by the end of it, I'm like, so is the message here that empathy in time of war is an insane prospect?
Yeah.
I couldn't parse out what the hell the point of this was supposed to be.
Well, I think that the core fundamental problem with this episode is that it's an Enterprise episode. And because it's an Enterprise episode, they're not actually going to get into what the interesting idea from this story kernel could be, right? Like, they're going to the only way that this episode is intriguing or insightful is if Archer legitimately, of his own mind, wants to save the Zindi eggs, right?
So right, exactly, yeah.
In that case, but Enterprise just isn't capable of the kind of nuance in its writing that this episode kind of demands happen. So you have to have, and what's funny is I also see how this episode could work in a better version of how the Zindi season story has gone, where Archer's development is not inconsistent in the way that the crew thinks he's remarkably consistent, but we as an audience are like, what the hell is wrong with Archer every single episode? Like, why is he going back and forth? If Archer was much more of a confused person throughout this, his decision here and the crew sort of going along with it, acting as though he's not completely sweaty all the time, going nuts and like digging around in this alien ship, if they saw his decision as another in the string of Archer seems to be losing the point of this mission and we need to replace him, I think that this episode would really serve well as like the pinnacle moment where Archer convinces the rest of the crew about something, or like, you know, brings everyone to his side of what the Zindi story is going to be. But regardless, this is all completely undone by Archer is infected and starts acting crazy. And the way he's acting is completely off the charts. Like, there's no legitimate way that anyone on the crew should not be like, we need to get this guy the hell out of here. So clear, you're seeing when he got sprayed by that stuff. Maybe we should see if that stuff did something to him, because this is insane. He's not Enterprise isn't even a good enough show to...
Let's be honest. How many times have one of us gotten sprayed by something on an alien planet and it's worked out fine?
It's not the usual way
this
narrative works. Even if the show is better and it's stuck with what this plot was, Archer needs to be less insane from the get-go to make this be like, oh. You know, like the egg preservation goo should make him have actually a legitimate reason to not do this instead of this completely arbitrary cockamamie idea as to what he's going to do. They try to do it, but he's clearly nuts. So you know the entire time that as soon as they knock him out, everything's going to happen. And then it goes into an Enterprise action sequence and everything is saved at the end of the day. And that's about it. That's the big letdown for this one for me.
Yeah, I think if I were to change it, what I might do is I might have the alien egg jizz be a misdirect. And so he gets sprayed by that stuff, and then he starts espousing this empathy towards the children and whatnot. And then the Makos, or the head Mako there, is it Hayes or something?
It's Hayes, yeah. Yep.
Hayes?
Major Hayes.
The main Mako there, yeah, Hayes. Or maybe, yeah, probably Hayes. I don't think it needs to be Reed, but Hayes starts getting more military-minded about it, and then he pulls a thing where he's like, I don't know. Did you see he got sprayed with that shit? Maybe it's messing with his head. He's trying to save these evil children from growing up and becoming Zindi that are going to kill us.
Yeah.
And eventually it's like, no, he's not crazy. He's just being empathetic towards the enemy, and that's something that you apparently can't wrap your brain around. Like, that's kind of interesting. Having it all be a result of getting juiced by this egg is just, I don't know. Like, it's too obvious to really work, because the whole time I'm just going like, well, I mean, if it's not the egg stuff, I'm going to be shocked.
Right, yeah.
And like, I felt like there's a certain point where it could have gone either way, where his interest was like intense, but it wasn't like over the edge intense. And then obviously he goes over the edge, like, okay, well, yeah, he got juiced by the egg, and that's whatever. Like the point where I thought the point where it was the most interesting, if you assumed that it could maybe have not been the juice and that maybe he's just, this is what he's chosen to do, is when Reed blows up the Zindi cruiser that shows up.
Yeah.
And Archer's like, we could have passed this off. We could have gotten out of here and we wouldn't have had to leave any of our stuff behind, but you acted impulsively. You killed a bunch of people and now we're stuck here. We have to get rid of a third of our antimatter. Like that, when he said that, I was like, oh, that's actually a legitimate response to that, that could be born of him actually trying to do this legitimately and not just because he's losing his mind with maternal instincts, you know?
Yeah.
So, but shortly after that, it turns into just a farce of mutiny. And it's like at the ending of this is so strange, where first it's Reed and Hayes having a scene where like they're trying to like get on good terms again after Reed and the other guys legitimately pulled a mutiny against the captain, even though they turned out to be right, I guess. It's like Hayes didn't do anything wrong. Right. He was just following orders. Obviously, you know, that's a loaded phrase, but you know what I mean.
Magneto and the Nazis were following orders, Clay.
Right, yeah. But to a certain point, it's like, what's actually happening here is not that big of a deal. So, like, the fact that there's a mutiny, and then after that, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have to pull a gun on you, but, you know, it just had to happen. And Hayes is like, yeah, I probably, why didn't you come to talk to me about it? And Reed goes, I didn't think it would work. And he goes, yeah, probably not. And then they have the scene with Trip and Archer, where Archer's like, I got to get back out there. And Trip's like, no, you need to get some more rest. And Archer's like, yeah, wouldn't want you to mutiny again. He's like, yeah. Anyway, go back to bed. it's a really, really strange episode.
Yeah. I agree with all of that you said. I think that maybe it's good we're well served to stick on what you brought up at the beginning here, which is Archer's argument that he's got something going. I think that there's no good within the context of what I'm given here for this episode, there's no good argument that Archer has, I think, is the problem here. Like there's if the show was able to make a good argument, I think that Archer's insanity could be reasonably underplayed. And they would be like, let's rely on this good argument that Archer can make, because then the crew will have to be really sort of like, there's a discussion amongst the rest of the crew of like, well, like this is kind of a good point, but is this the best thing for us to do? The problem is that I can't think of a single moral argument that is, we have to save these 30 enemy children over the billions back home on Earth. Like, ignoring even the species aspect of it, it's like, it's the ultimate trolley problem that it's like, I'm not going to pull the handle to save these billions of people and kill 30 because I think these 30 are worth something. It's, I think that he's just, the ethical argument is like extremely difficult for me here, that you're going to make this conversation. And that's why it makes it seem that the crew is idiotic and not immediately, I don't even, what's the point of this? The doctor can tell the captain what to do if the captain just goes, fuck yourself, and he doesn't do it.
Right.
Like, why can't they just take him out of command? And why did the Mako is only listen? It's just this, it's like a lot of Enterprise episodes in that I feel I can understand what they're doing, but it feels like their fingertips just can't grab the idea as what. So it's like they're just sort of floundering at it, and you're like, I know this is supposed to play out a certain way, but this is not happening right. And I think fundamentally it all comes down to Archer making a bizarre decision that only makes sense in the context of if this universe is happening in prior episodes. Archer's flip-flopping back and forth is noticed by the crew, and they don't think he's acting particularly irrational in this episode. But I don't get that sense at all. I don't get the sense that the crew wants to consider talking about this, or that Archer's weirdness in previous episodes is an intentional thing that the writers have been doing. So when you get to Hatchery, just no one makes a good point. There's no conference room scene because the show doesn't do that, where all the other characters go like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, this is not the best thing to do. It's all one after the other, and he shoots them all down and says, I'll put you in the brig. I'll put you in the brig. It's like Oprah just putting everybody in the brig, and they can't mount an offensive against him.
Yeah, it's... and maybe that's part of why I didn't recognize that he was acting weird, is because he seems to flip-flop so much that I was like, well, I mean, I guess in this one he's just overly empathetic. but even so, I think the ethical argument is interesting, but the problem is I think they put too many boundaries on it to make it completely insane. So, like, the idea in and of itself on whether or not they should go out of their way to save these kids is interesting if there is a reasonable way to do it where it is an inconvenience but not a completely destructive inconvenience.
Sure. Like taking them on the ship with them until they find a Zindi ship.
There's a signal going out and the Zindi are on their way, but by the time they get here, they're going to be dead unless we do something. It's like, okay, well, okay. So there you've got a little bit more wiggle room, but when it gets into, you have to take a third of your antimatter out to boost up this ship in order to put these eggs in a microwave for another 6 days or whatever.
Yeah.
It gets harder to track and harder to be like, okay, yeah, he's clearly going nuts here, but which is what makes the episode so difficult, is because they're trying, it seems, to have this ethical discussion, but they end up making the ethical discussion look like insanity. And so that's why I was like, I don't know what you're supposed to take away from this, because all it seems to me is like they're saying that empathy during wartime has its place, but let's be honest, we need to let these people die. You know, it's like, okay, that's not a Star Trek story, you know, or a theme that you come away from in Star Trek. So I wonder if there's a different version of this where there wasn't the egg spray stuff or something, because it just that element just makes the entire thing feel really weird, and it just kind of lazy, because they're doing this thing. And again, even if they're not trying to get into the ethics of saving enemy children or whatever, there's still nothing to be gleaned from this by the end of it. Like like I was saying at the beginning, I don't know what any of this is supposed to have meant. Is it implication that Archer is going too far? Well, not really, because he wasn't of his own mind. Is it implication that they are acting too intensely and too single-mindedly in this mission? Well, I don't really know, because everybody kind of laughed it off at the end, so no one really learned anything. I don't know what the point of any of it is supposed to be. Like, you can't have this kind of story and just come away with everybody just kind of setting back to one and going like, well, yeah, we did what we could. Anyway, out of here. There's sixteen of them running around down there. The rest of them will probably be fine by the time the next Zindi cruiser shows up or whatever. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what any of it's supposed to mean.
Yeah. We just covered
and it's not particularly fun. You know, it's not a particularly fun episode, because you're dealing with, you know, child murder here.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how you wanted to. I don't know how you want to define it, but like there's a level of empathy or coldness involved here that doesn't exactly build to a fun episode, nor does it build to an episode where you come away going like, huh, that one really made me think.
Yeah. What's kind of interesting about the episode is that they try to bring up the fact, like Archer makes the argument, you know, just because they're bugs doesn't mean that they're any less. What if they look like dogs, you wouldn't kill them, Trip, or whatever. And Chip's like, well, I love dogs, so I would not kill them. So then they make this argument that they should save them because it's the right thing to do and not because bugs are gross, kind of thing. That Archer's, one of Archer's points is. But
if Archer had been leading the team during Starship Troopers, maybe we wouldn't have been in the situation we were in back then.
What kind of undercuts it is when the first baby Zindi dies and it cuts to Phlox holding it like he's got a burnt rib at Outback Steakhouse, and he's like looking at the thing, turning it
into
his hand.
He's looking at it like like it's like a dog toy or something.
It's that that kind of undercuts that point that these are creatures that you should be empathetic for, because he's kind of like, yeah, look at this fucking gross thing. It just throws it in the trash. Yeah. So they don't really even stick on that, which is maybe interesting. I think there's another way that they could have done this, which is that Archer's capture by the bug goo happens much more immediately, and it's kind of like that episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where Data goes rogue and takes over the ship and like locks everybody out of everything and goes and does whatever he wants to do.
Sure.
At that point, it's much more Archer's clearly compromised and they need to do something, but he has command over the ship in a way that they can't break his access codes or something. You know, there's a difficulty there. So it's kind of a mutiny, kind of not. But I think that I don't find what they did here to be a good use of anybody's time. And I don't find it to be a good use of...
Put that on the poster.
I don't find it to be a good use of the tensions that have been nicely developed between the Makos and Reed and things like that. Like, when it was starting, I was kind of like, oh, I'm really starting to like this strangely sexual tension built thing between Reed and this guy Hayes, where Reed says, oh, fuck your simulation. And the guy's like, well, it gives me this. He's like, oh, I'm sorry I said that. That was not nice of me to tell you that your simulation was stupid.
It's like the first time that I saw Super Nintendo. I was an NES guy and I was like, what's this Mario World bullshit? I got Mega Man I could play, and then I saw Mario World and I was like, oh, how do I get one of those?
How do I get one of these? This is a wonderful simulation you've got here. I kind of like that. I just don't feel that it doesn't even play into the end, really. You know, like the blossoming friendship between these two is just kind of a weird subplot that's happening. And it's not that I hate it or not that I think it's bad, but it has nothing to do with the resolution of what happens here with the coup attempt and then the mutiny or whatever you want to call it.
Like, wouldn't a better ending be that they go to take back the bridge and Reed actually does manage to get through to Hayes?
Yeah.
So they don't end up just shooting him? He's like, listen to me. This is not right. The captain's doing this. He's acting like a crazy person. You need to trust me on this. And then Hayes is like, you're my friend now, so okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, give some sort of, like...
I told you your simulation was cool. He's like, oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did do that.
Was that worth nothing? Was Star Fox 3D worth nothing to you? Shit, what the hell was I going to say? As I was watching the episode, I was watching that stuff, and when I was watching it, I watched the recap, which was another interesting recap, that had all the stuff with them fighting, the two of them fighting in it. And as I'm watching this episode, I was thinking, I feel like this episode should come before the fighting, because the fighting seemed to be the point where they kind of got on the same page.
Sure, yeah.
And everything in this episode felt like it was early season heads, you know, locking
sorting,
horns type
sorting
stuff.
Sorting each other out a little bit. Yeah, figuring each other out a little
bit. Yeah, because, like, I mean, it feels like that fight that they have a couple episodes ago has a lot more weight to it if part of the stuff that led up to that fight is Reed being lead mutineer, taking back the bridge and shooting him with a face. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's there's so little stuff that built into that first initial conflict that now when they do it now, it feels like that stuff should have been earlier.
Right, because this is, I mean, just... ignoring anything else, this is the first episode I feel we've had in a long time that's actually done anything with the Makos and how they actually...
Right.
They're subservient to the senior officers, but they're more militaristic. Therefore, they're more likely to just follow orders and do like the chain of command type stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is the first episode that's really brought that up, and it's very late in it, but you could have been building...
Have you ever had to nurse a baby Zindi back to life?
Go to sleep. It's that, you know, it was something we've been complaining about all season, but if they're not going to develop the Makos in any sense, when you get to an episode like this, which is number 17 in the season, I'm willing to accept that the Makos follow Archer, but at the same time, mm-hmm. like, they don't really have a... Hayes seems capable. He doesn't think Archer's actions crazy. You know, like, there has to be some kind of out. It does work better early on if maybe the Makos are less familiar with Archer or something like that. And there's a kind of, like, confusion about what's happening. But he's hung out with him. He's done all the stuff, yeah.
Or if the thing that Archer's asking to do is, like, objectively unreasonable. Like, like I said, there's, like, an ethical element built into this where it's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, it seems like he's kind of going too far, but what they're doing isn't awful. But, like, if you have Archer doing something that is, like, at the end of the pendulum swing for Archer, what he's doing is, like, absolutely unacceptable, and the Makos are still following his orders, then I think there's room to have that, like, following orders argument where the Makos are following him blindly and they're not thinking about what they're actually being asked to do. But they're not interested in doing that either. So it's just like, yeah, Hayes is like, well, I guess it's weird that you've thrown your entire crew into the brig. They all seem like pretty reasonable people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll do whatever you want because that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I not to always rewrite the episode or anything, but like if Archer brought the eggs onto the ship, right, and there was a... I think you could more subtly hide the fact if they brought the Zindi eggs onto the ship, and the argument from the crew was, I don't think we need to bring these things onto the ship. Like almost an alien send up where the crew is aware of, like, they've seen the movie Alien and they're like, I don't think this is a good idea to bring these eggs onto the ship. But Archer's characterization there is more the, trying to do the right thing, Jonathan Archer, that I feel we've developed at this point in the series, where he's like, no, like, because I do like his argument. If we tell the Zindi we saved the Zindi eggs, they'll think that we're not all that bad. I'm like, that's kind of a believable argument for Archer. But once he brings them on the ship, his scheme becomes a little bit more obvious in terms of, like, he's trying to mother these things to a point where they will hatch and then they will sort of take control of the Enterprise or something. Like, he's trying to keep them alive so that they can keep the ship going. And at that point, I think that the crew versus Archer is a little bit of a weirder argument for the Makos to step into, because I think that Archer is continuing with the mission and everything. He can allow the ship to continue to Azadi Prime as if nothing has happened. There's not this obvious delay. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to throw away all the gas. As he's trying to plot to eventually take over the ship and the crew is realizing this, the Mako's following orders there is a little bit more complicated, I think, because Archer's not obviously insane by that point to anybody. And I think that that's the key to this episode actually working.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Mako's are, I mean, they make sense given... It makes sense given what they're doing here, like being that third party, but it is such a really odd position to put them in because they are so locked into, they're locked into orders from Archer to a point that just doesn't feel natural to how they've been portrayed in the rest of the season. And it's one of those things where I feel like you can get away with this stuff if you've been spending time with them, but you haven't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
It almost could have been a big episode for Hayes. Archer throws all the senior officers in the brig.
Sure.
And now it's just Archer and this guy who's like, I know you're my boss, but this is insane. Like, what's going on here? I could have seen that working, too. It's a big guest star episode for the guy who plays Hayes. And you get to see what he thinks about things.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, it would be an interesting one to do from his perspective.
Yeah.
Where maybe you're not actually seeing all of the arguments that are happening between Archer and the crew.
Right.
And what you're just seeing
Archer's just telling
get
him
called in.
Yeah, Archer's telling him his point of view about this stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Hayes is coming in right as T'Pol's just like neck pinched somebody and it's like, "Oh, well she obviously
she's
she needs to go to the brig." Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That
there's no talk at the time of why she's just done what she did, but Archer is like, get her out of here. She's clearly nuts.
Yeah.
Same with Reed or Trip or what, you know. That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah. I brought it up before. It was a little weird, right? Where they bring in Phlox and they're like, you need to come in for testing, and Archer says no. And they're like, all right, well, see you
yes.
later.
Yeah.
That was weird, right? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But the bigger
My girlfriend pointed the same thing out where they were like, we can, you know, Phlox can remove you from command if he doesn't think you're fit to serve. And he's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Okay.
He said, that's the captain I know.
Yeah.
Because, well, I guess they scanned him there, but still, it's like just, I don't know, bring him in or something. It was weird. It was a long way to go for a ham sandwich.
Yeah. I feel like in any situation, maybe not any, because obviously you can abuse this power, and it's how, you know, women have been labeled as hysterical throughout history as a means to come up with a reason to subjugate them more. But like, I feel like if you're in this position and someone says, "Hey, maybe you need to come in for testing," and they go, "No," you go, "Okay, so there's something wrong with him."
Right. Yeah, it's the
you know, like. The way that you respond to the prodding is like as much of an admission as anything else is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 It definitely is that case. Is what the hell is the saying? Now my brain's frying out, but the saying of the reaction exposes your hand or whatever. I felt
the same way when they were doing the Supreme Court thing. And it's like, well, even if he didn't do what he's being accused of, I do not want this guy making a law because he is unhinged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the argument is that, for the Supreme Court is if you can't handle the job interview, you're probably not fit to be one of the just, even if the job interview is a terrible interview.
Right. If your job interview ends with you threatening revenge on everyone who's asking you questions, maybe you're not suited for the job.
Yeah, but, I want my justices to be like stand-up comedians, just roasting the people that are questioning what they're doing. To be like, this guy has got the best wit I've ever seen. He's going to write some incredible legal opinions. Not what they happen.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I feel we have to touch on it maybe a little bit more. The ethical conundrum here. Is there anything... I don't even really know where to start. Like I understand the premise of trying to convince these Zindi that the Enterprise is not all that bad. I don't know. Is the problem here that we just still don't know much about the Zindi? The Zindi are so nebulous. They can be like anywhere at any time. Yeah. There's no idea of where they're supposed to be. There's different species of them or whatever. And like, you never know what ship is coming or what have you. I just, I don't know. I don't know if it's a weakness of the episode, because just as much as I feel like this idea of the Zindi kids, maybe this is the best way to put it. I feel like DS9 could have done
now, there's
this
episode. A spinoff.
What's that?
There's a spinoff. Zindi kids? Yeah.
Aren't you coming home from a day of work and just like, oh, they're the kids making
bunch of little prepubescent. bug kids with backwards hats and jean shorts.
They remind me of Jiminy Cricket, actually, the way that they look when they're little, sort of scurrying around. I think that my...
That's a good shirt. Zindi kids. That's a good shirt. Zindi kids. Keep that in the back of your mind.
I think that... I don't know if DS9 even did this. I think this is an episode that DS9 could have done, and I think they kind of did it with the Jem'Hadar kid episode, where Odo finds a young Jem'Hadar and tries to convince him to like turn his back on the founders and stuff like that, and he fails at it. I know they don't want to rip off DS9, but to me it just shows the difference between the shows, where I feel like DS9 understands the point of what this type of interaction was supposed to be, like to show it shows you a weakness in Odo's thinking, that Odo is trying desperately to prove that he is not alone and that he can convince other Dominion members to not go along with what the idea is. He doesn't want to be alone. He wants someone else to come with him and think like him.
Yeah.
And he ultimately fails at it. Hatchery kind of feels like it should have been that point. But I guess they're bound because it seems obvious at this point that the series arc is going to end with befriending the Zindi, right? So you can't have this sort of antagonistic, like, well, the Zindi are just, they're just off their rockers. Like, there's no convincing these guys, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that's the angle to go with this, because the difference is, in Deep Space Nine, that episode was about getting through to one Jem'Hadar so that Jem'Hadar could then get through to the other ones.
Mm.
This one is more about showing the Zindi that the humans are not the monsters that they claim to be. And the problem with this episode is there's no way to relay that message, because that's the message means nothing unless the Zindi get the message.
Right. And it's so, also like, a fake message from Archer. It was never, like, does he ever bring that up before he gets sprayed? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the spray just completely ruins everything.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to go for the ethical thing, it's like, okay, that's fine. But you have to, that's why I was saying, like, there needs to be some more reasonable, like, pressure or time constraint or something. Because unless the Zindi get the message, then it's not worth anything, right? It's what, are they going to leave a note in the birthing chamber?
That's what they would have to do. They'd save the eggs and leave a note saying, like, the Enterprise was here. We're not all that bad, you know?
Right. Like, that's they're not going to do that. That's ridiculous. So it's like there's no method of relaying whatever it is that they're doing back to the Zindi to prove the point that they're trying to prove.
Yeah.
So ultimately, this kind of story just doesn't work. Because that's why I think you have to, they end up having to make it some sort of like mind craziness thing. Because otherwise, if you're trying to be sincere about it, there's no situation where, even if they saved these kids and they're like, okay, great, we saved the kids, let's get out of here, they can't tell the Zindi they did it,
right?
Because they're trying to sneak up on the Zindi to blow up their weapon.
But so in some ways that feels Star Trek-y, right? Like Archer and the crew do the right thing that no one is going to know about, but they do it because doing it would be the right thing in that situation. You know, I think there's
which could make that argument. Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
it's just Enterprise not choosing to do any of that stuff. Let's wrap it up there. We'll go take a break. We'll play a clip from the episode. We'll come back, read some patron thoughts about this one, and then give our final thoughts about Hatchery.
If I'm declared unfit for duty, then she takes over.
Captain, if you won't come with me, I'll be required under Starfleet Order 104, Section C, to relieve you of command.
I expected something like this from her. But not from the two of you.
Corporal.
I've already confined two senior officers today.
Thank you very much for listening to the podcast today. We just covered Hatchery. If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/thepenskyfile. It's the best way to support us. A couple dollars a month gets you extra podcasts. You get polls to vote on what we cover. There's occasional live streams and stuff. You get access to the Discord channel that's for captains only. All that stuff. Just go to patreon.com/thepenskyfile. And
I need to start saying that in the episodes in my shows because I keep saying, like, give us a rating. Or does anybody rate or review podcasts anymore?
Is they do. Like there's no reason to. It doesn't push you up the rankings or anything like that.
Yeah.
I like it just because the only reason I think reviews on podcasts are useful is because if I go to a new podcast and I see that it has 100 reviews, I go, oh, people actually listen to this and it must be worth listening
right,
to.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But
you know what? Who cares about that? We're all about the money.
That's right.
forget ratings or reviews. You know what? The only ratings and reviews I want to see. Money fingers.
That's it.
Fingers mean the money.
Patreon.com/thepenskyfile. It's the best way to support us across all the shows. There's a bunch of shows. And this is it. What the hell else was I going to say? I can't remember. Patreon. Oh, we did Battlestar Galactica. That's a call to our arms that people would like. People like Battlestar. We covered it. We talked about the miniseries. Not the entire series, just the miniseries. Episodes 1 and 2.
Door opened.
It must have been a draft.
What if we, to really test the audience... After we finish Voyager, we go, you know, we hit that Voyager goal, we'll do all of Voyager. But if we don't hit that Voyager goal, we'll do all of Battlestar Galactica. Let's see where the chips fall there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Joker situation.
We wouldn't meet the goal, I don't think. I think people would withdraw their money to get us to go negative and
probably.
Cover Battlestar.
Just to be clear, I'm not saying that's what we're going to do. So. Please continue giving us your money.
And I'm definitely not editing out these comments, so I don't have the time to do that. But please go to Patreon and support us there. And as always, the Captain Tier supporters get a special thank you. Special thank you for aiding our Battlestar coverage this month goes to Tark Latif, Samuel Custer, Joint Mango, Kyle Barrett, Mike Burnett, Andrew Churlog, Matthew Ross, Michael Pond, Matt Cutler, Christian Pouch, Nick Sergey, Cardinal Doomsday, Grim Santo, Sean Bradley Killens, Dwayne Hackett, Tavon Reyes, Vol 13 Hero, Jordan Cooper, Darth Musk, Russell Elge, HH28, Stephen Minton, Derek Zajac, Paul Roscoe, Jacob 123, Point Extra G, Patrick Seba, Dave Davies, Johnny Franceschi, Mike Harris, Captain Brazen, Eric Sanchuan, Jakey's Gamer, Kevin Lowry, Corey Martin, Nick the Rat, Matt Houston, William Scheisler, Rahan Jaffer, Groppler John Zorn, Soylent Blue, Zane Majors, Olivier Pardur, Retail, Tom Hickey, Jose Hunters, EWNF Remixes, Captain McMunchausen, James McLennan, Beale, Jonas Lokai and Tuvix Must Die. It's a nice little rap I had there at the end. Thank you for doing that, guys.
Have we ever gotten to the bottom of whether or not Dave Davies is the actual Dave Davies from the Kinks?
Dave, if you're listening,
give us a sign.
Write a song about this whole thing that you've enjoyed supporting us on Patreon. That's it. So now we'll go to patron comments. If you're a patron at the $5 and up level, you can leave comments about upcoming episodes and we read them. The first one for Hatchery goes to Matt Ross, who says, the Zadi Prime isn't going anywhere. Save the venomous egg sac. No one says, Captain, please wash yourself off and change your uniform. It takes the crew too long to declare Archer unfit, and Reed is a dick to Hayes for no reason. This was painfully cliche, obvious, and tired. One dead bug out of five.
That was something I did notice, is that all of a sudden, Archer was just covered in like ectoplasm for some reason.
He's so sweaty.
Like they hadn't shown him go back down to the ship or something, and he's standing there in his uniform and he's just like dripping with goo. And I was like, what? Did that thing just like get into his suit when it sprayed him or what?
It wasn't no one particularly nervous. They saw him get sprayed too, right? There were people like standing there just watching him get sprayed.
Oh,
it wasn't
yeah.
like a secret
oh, yeah.
thing that happened. Yeah, I don't know. Royo says, Hatchery, why even bother with a super laser when you can enslave humanity with your Zindi bug goo? Despite all the Mako talk about wanting to complete the mission to have the greatest chance of mission success, they for some reason seem less interested in completing the mission than the crew of the Enterprise. Shouldn't the scenario be reversed with the Makos mutinying because the mission is in jeopardy and the crew willing to cut Archer slack because they've been through so much
yeah.
together? As thinly written as the Makos are, this feels out of character for them to side with the goo-covered Archer in order to jeopardize their saving of Earth over a mission of mercy. What is that? The man. I'm sorry. There's a little bit of dirt on my computer screen. The man is literally handing their enemy antimatter, relieves half the command staff, and has Zindi crawling all over him. And yet Archer has the Mako's full approval. Was there a scene missing where Archer sprays the Mako's one by one with Zindi goo? 1 out of 5. I like all the points in that comment. It should have been a test of the Mako's, I think. And I actually think that Archer zombifying the Makos is not a bad idea in the long term for what that could have been. I'm not saying that's the way I would have wanted it to go, but I could understand that happening.
Yeah, I would have liked it if they had done just, you know, a subversion of the alien egg trope where it's like they were actually completely harmless and actually just, you know, children instead of the, like, if they did what you were saying earlier, where it's like, we've seen this movie, we know what happens when we bring these eggs on board, and he's like, I think this is going to be fine, and it turns out to be fine.
Right.
Or what you do, you hatch those hatchlings, little baby Zindis, you have them grow up on the ship. Now they just think they're part of the Enterprise crew. So you've got an entire sub crew of Zindi bug people who can help you defeat the real Zindi, and then when they find out they're killing their own people, that's going to be an interesting conversation to have.
They turn and everyone, all the humans are pointing at them and laughing. It's like Total Recall with Hauser laughing at himself saying, Quaid.
Yes.
They could have done that because there's those ant colonies that like steal, they invade other ant colonies and steal the young, the larva, and then hatch them, and they just start working for that colony and stuff. So it's built into these Zindi bug guys. They can do it.
Oh, they should have that... the Zindi should have that fungus that gets inside bugs and turns them into zombies. That would be cool.
Yeah, they walk up to the top of a blade of grass and just have a head explosion of mushrooms or whatever. Anything like that would have been nice. Eric Sanchuan says, Hatchery, this is not a particularly great episode, but it's a fun one. The equivalent of something like The Enemy Within. And it's always fun to see our hero acting like a dick for 45 minutes, even if at this point in the franchise it's an overused trope. It might have been more fun if the characters who got infected was actually Malcolm, since Dominic Cading bears such a unsettling resemblance to John Hurt. But maybe that's just me.
That's a good point. Have they ever used him to play young John Hurt? That's a really good cast. I was watching Psycho 2. Because I don't know if you knew this, they made 4 Psycho movies.
Yeah.
They made one in 1960, and then they made 3 between 1982 and 1989, or 1990.
Right, not including the remake.
Including the remake, which was 98, I think. Anthony Perkins, dead ringer for Andrew Garfield.
Oh, you
I'm
think so?
I'm surprised that Andrew... I think so, yeah. I'm surprised Andrew Garfield has never played Anthony Perkins in something before.
I think he reminds me of... he's a famous actor. He played Lloyd Braun in Seinfeld. He plays...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in one of the TNG episodes. I think he looks like Perkins quite a bit. Same kind of look. Latte Librarian says, Hatchery, Archer spent most of the episode making sense while everyone seems short-sighted and cold-hearted. Obviously, the paranoia was bad and maybe he shouldn't have gone so far, but I don't understand why compassion was made out to be a weird alien influence. He had a point. If there were just 31 primate babies, the show wouldn't have acted like leaving them to die was just fine. Remind me a little of that Black Mirror episode where the enemies looked like roaches. 2 alien eggs out of 5. Mm. Yeah, I, as I said at the start, I have a hard time buying this. With the stakes what they are, I would say that Archer is unfit for command if he decides that these 31 Zindi babies, even with this plot he's hatching, like to be like, we'll tell the Zindi we're friends, doesn't seem like the place or time for that argument, I guess, is my take on it. But what do I know? Kyle Barrett says, the opening of the episode, exploring a derelict ship and coming across some creepy eggs, is an enjoyable alien homage. But instead of the cool bit where somebody becomes a mother by gorily giving birth via chest cavity, Archer just acts like a broody mother hen for 45 minutes. There could have been an interesting ethical debate about whether to save the eggs or not, but clearly the writers have no interest in that and only glancingly use the idea as a backdrop for mutiny. Without the egg loop mind control aspect, where characters want to save the eggs of their own volition, this could have been a great episode. It was nice to see Mayweather have a small scene and then make the decisive move against Hayes, but he's still too often forgotten about. He was chosen for the crew and then tossed aside like a plate of fish and chips with no tartar sauce in a Jamaican pub. Two cute baby insectoids out of five. It's true.
Nice.
Mayweather does have dialogue in this one. He's tinkering in the little ship with Trip, and then he gets the attack.
Yeah, he gets the takedown on Captain Hayes there.
I thought there was going to be a callback to when that guy shoved his face into the mat during their training session in Harbinger. You know, remember when they were like, they gave him a little bit of a taste of victory and then he just knocks him on his ass? I thought there was going to be a callback to that, but no. Matthew?
I thought he was going to get shot because he...
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, if he's making a move, he's going to get injured somehow.
Yeah, doesn't happen. Nick the Rats, I'm sorry. Is this the first one? Where are we? Kyle's Aaron Pixie Sticks says, looking back at this episode, I can't help but get Prometheus/Alien Covenant vibes from this one. Despite the terrible decision by Archer to take his helmet off, this isn't a terrible episode, and it's one of my brother's favorites in the series. For me, it's more middling. I won't spoil the rest of the season, but my advice is saddle up, lock and load. 3 out of 5. Thank you, Aaron.
You know why Alien works? Among other reasons.
Yeah, where do we start?
One of the greatest science fiction movies ever made. They don't take their helmets off and it still gets them.
Right.
It goes through the helmet. Don't take the goddamn helmet off. We don't need to see Tom Skerritt's face that well for that much. Once you get back to the ship, take it off all you want.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good point. It's that's your first indication of you just can't stop the aliens, I guess. Like even your protective measures to stop getting hit by this thing are just not going to work.
Because even... like it's it's like going outside when there's, I don't know, let's say like a airborne pandemic happening,
sure,
and being like
outside's the best place to be, Clay. I won't listen to this.
Oh,
nonsense.
You know what I mean? It's like let's go into a crowded room and go. Air's a little musty, but it seems fine. Let's take our masks off. It's great.
I mean, what he did right to bring it to COVID, it would be you walk into a. We know this. Like we had karaoke plague every time we used to do karaoke, because when you do karaoke, everyone gets sick because someone's sick in a 9x9 room where everyone's screaming at the top of their lungs. It would have been us, the equivalent of us going to karaoke night, and you walk in with a thermometer and go, 68 degrees in here. We can just go in this room. You're like, well, yeah, I guess you can. It'll be a comfortable temperature, but you're definitely going to get sick. And they did. Nick the Rat says, Hatchery, the little buggers were very disturbing looking. My favorite scene was Archer breastfeeding the little tykes. The Makos were taken down so easily by the crew, it made me laugh. I give this episode a decent out of a pretty good.
I don't remember the breastfeeding scene.
They have, what is it, royal jelly? Isn't that what baby bees eat or something like that? Archer was providing the royal jelly. Blech. Point X to G says, Hatchery, Star Trek has done the we must mutiny because the captain's gone nutty thing quite a few times. The other attempts at it were probably better. They at least did something with the Makos, not that it makes them look capable or competent. Final comment. Christian Pouch says, debate on ethics of saving potentially genocidal children is interesting, but nope. Instead, we have Archer as the sole voice of compassion, but he's been drugged, so the episode plays him as crazy, and we're left with a murderous crew who wants to set the Zindi school bus on fire. Debate and conflict over following orders is interesting, but Crimson Tide, this is not. Hayes has no rational viewpoint for following Archer to this extreme, and in the end, although they never get power up and running, something which supposedly they die without, all the babies are just fine anyway. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
1 out of 5.
That was the other thing. At the end, after like 6 of them or whatever, 16 of them hatch or whatever, Archer asks, Are they gonna be okay? And Trip's like, yeah. There's like 16 of them running around and Phlox says they should be fine until the next Zindi caravan comes through. Why were they there at all?
I know. Why?
Why? Why are they doing
Archer's,
anything?
Archer never of sound mind gave an order in this, you know? So that, like, it just completely undermines all that stuff. There was a point there. I just wanted to... Yeah, I think a couple of the patrons have disagreed with me. I'll just state my opinion again because I think it matters for my point of view on the podcast, I suppose. Archer as
just
the
say
soul,
it louder this time.
Archer's the... I agree that Archer's supposed to be the sole voice of compassion. I disagree if some of the patrons are saying that he has a point. And maybe I think you were also saying that he has a point. I just don't... I don't see... And I know you hedged it with, like, they set up everything to make his point not seem legitimate, that he's insane by this point, and I would agree with that.
Right.
I think this episode to me requires substantial rewriting and reconfiguring what the conflict is to make this anywhere near the flip, like, the conundrum that Archer makes it seem like it's supposed to be. Like, even if they were primate children or like humanoid looking Zindi kids, the discussion there is harder than this episode is willing to go. The discussion about, like,
right,
if this is Battlestar, the kids get left behind, and
right,
that's
right,
the tragedy of it, kind of, is that, like, you can't do everything. And I know Star Trek is going to be the optimistic point, but even DS9 recognized there are some points where the optimism just seems insane, like Archer is in this episode. And it's like that's the struggle with it. And I don't think this episode gets anywhere close setting up Archer's point of view as something that I can sympathize with and think is legitimate.
No, because it hedges it within the episode.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to have that conversation, they can have that conversation, but they don't because they turn it into a goo hallucination.
Yep, yep.
So anything they're trying to do, it just evaporates.
Yeah.
'Cause, like, if you want to, sure, that thing he says about the primates, he's got a point. But at that point in the episode, he's under the control of mind control juice.
Yep.
And it takes away any sort of real meaning that any of that stuff has.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Thank you, patrons, for leaving your thoughts. Patreon.com/ThePenskeyFile is the best way to support the show. You get to leave your thoughts. You get all the extra podcasts. Good stuff. Thank you very much for supporting us at Patreon.com/ThePenskeyFile. Clay, when are you going to give this one on our scale of 1 to 5? The patrons skewed negative, a little bit more negative than I expected. But what are you going to give this one? I'd like 3 or 4 ones from the patrons, which is...
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 2.
Mm-hmm. It's a 2 for me. Could have been there. Definitionally has problems with its concept, although it's not a complete disaster, and I understand what they were trying to do and things like that. I think it's 2. Azadi Prime is the next episode, I think. There's not much else to say about Hatchery. Azadi Prime is the next one. They get to the star that they've been driving to for the past couple episodes in the next one.
Ooh, Fireworks Factory.
Yep, hooray. We arrived. So that's it for Hatchery. We both give it a 2. Not Hatchery. A super memorable episode.
Hatchery.
Thank you, patrons, for supporting the show. Next episode is Azadi Prime. This is the first episode with video on YouTube, if you're interested in that. Our faces are now back. Back for good. Clay, do you have anything you want to say before we step off?
Yes, but I'm going to do it written on cue cards, so only people who watch the YouTube stream will know what I have to say. All right.
I just
for YouTube people.
We paused.
We've got Rotten Horror Picture Show. We've got Audition coming up if it's not out already. And then after that will be A Quiet Place Part 2, which is fun because it's actually the first movie that on the list we will be covering while it is in theaters, and Amanda and I will be going to see it in theaters, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Friday the 13th Part 6 coming out this month, assuming it's still this month when this comes out, and July will be Part 7, and we've got Badass. We have just recorded our 6th episode for Badass, which is actually halfway through the season. It's a shorter season than the last two, so we're actually almost, well, not almost,
you're on
we're
the, halfway what is done. It called? The New Adventures of Batman or something?
The new Batman Adventures, new Batman, I think. There's only 24 episodes, so it's only going to be a 12 episode season from us this time around.
Yep. That's kind of, I wouldn't say it's nice, but that's certainly less Batman to watch. General thoughts on the New Adventures of Batman compared to the old one?
It's not as good. There was like a 4-year gap between the two series. I think I've probably brought this up before. And it feels a little bit kind of like contractual album-ish.
Sure.
Where it's like, we want to do more of this stuff because Batman and Robin just came out and we get the Superman show. Let's get the band back together and do some Batman stuff. And there are good episodes. We've hit some. We just did our first 5, I think, from this season, which honestly, throughout all the ones we've done, there haven't been that many 5s. But
even the older, even the original animated,
even the old ones, even the original 3 seasons only had a couple 5s or a handful of 5s. But they've been a lot colder, and it's just missing something for a lot of them. The better ones seem to show that they can still do a really good episode, but a lot of the other ones just feel like they're kind of just, you know, having fun doing whatever.
Sure.
Mileage may vary.
Vaguely Enterprise-esque, in my opinion, based on what you just said. I think that's it. We're done. All the podcasts can be found.
But if you like talk about mullets, listen to the new season, because we just had our newest episode come out recently, and we talked about mullets for like legit 10 minutes. So if that's what you're coming to the show for, we got you.
That's it for us. All the shows are at thepenskefile.com, or the Penske Podcast is the Star Trek one. You can find them on all the podcast apps. They're on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. We have a Clips channel. You can subscribe to the YouTube Clips channel. If the podcasts are too much for you, I'll be putting more videos up there. All the social media stuff, who cares about that? Blah, blah, blah. That's it. We're done with Hatchery. Azadi Prime is next. And we're coming up sort of close to the end of the 3rd season of Enterprise. So things are looking, at least like there has to be some kind of conflict resolution, I would expect. That's it. Thanks, guys, very much for listening. We will see you next time.